Hume on today's show, sponsored by Howl.fm. Check out the new Howl original with my birthday boy, Mike Hanford, coming on with the John Lennon special, 6 exclusive episodes. Ask John Lennon questions. He's hilarious. You guys know him from Improv for Humans and Birthday Boys. Go to howl.fm/improv. Use, improv. That word improv. That's the code. You get 40% off. Full year of Howl for just $34.99.
Improv for Humans. Live at Podfest 2016.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That's me. Check it out. Ian Roberts. Sean Clements. Jessica McKenna. Zach Areno, the best little improviser in LA. He made me say that. Yeah, slow fade out. Nice. How are you guys doing, Podfest? Listeners, we got pretty much a full room here at the LA Podfest down in Beverly Hills at noon. Very impressive to start listening and watching comedy this early on a weekend.
Should we tell the listening audience other visual aspects?
Yeah, I want to set the scene.
Well, here's the. My name's Ian Roberts. I'm ripped like a male model. I came up on stage walking on my hands.
Movie descriptions don't usually start with a description of the main character, how good-looking he is.
I just want them to get the idea of what's going on up here. Guys, you want to...
Yeah. It looks like his muscles have muscles.
I meant to yourself, but thank you.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
No, believe me, I understand.
We're all just taking turns on Ian's bodies or just the muscles?
Shaved clean.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking on his hands to save a small child. It was the only way he could reach him.
I caught the child on my feet.
This was walking up to the stage? Is that what we're talking about?
I saw a kid was hanging from the ceiling. It's one of those hung ceilings, and he was on the metal things between the asbestos.
This all happened moments before the drums and fife theme, folks. Yeah. Listeners.
Yeah. Ian has a sort of masculinity that is... great for all generations.
That's true.
Ah.
That's
what would be a masculinity that is just for millennials? You're one, Zach. Tell me.
Sure. Well, it couldn't be too aggressive. It would be a sort of quiet, like sensual masculinity.
Sensual masculinity. Yeah.
Millennials are in touch with sexuality from a very young
age. I would say
age.
No hair above a t-shirt line.
No.
Like if there was chest hair peak yet, that's not millennial.
Right.
No,
that's
no.
My generation when Sean Connery had to wear a chest toupee to be Bond.
But you can have a hair if it's grown down from your neck beard.
Oh. A millennial can have...
You can work top down. You can't come up.
Top down, not bottom up.
If they've got both, how can you tell from which end it started?
We can tell.
You can smell it on them.
Millennials can tell.
I'm Gen X, but...
So this type of guy might have a beard that goes down and stops on his upper chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd be bald from there down.
He must be, yes.
You go chin to collarbone, and then working down from there, you wax it.
Oh, boy.
And it is wax, not shave.
Listen, I don't know. Ask our teachers who gave us all trophies, you know?
What man here has waxed their chest? And don't say for some depressing operation you're going to tell me about. I don't want to hear about that story. That's it? No one?
Seriously, nobody.
Not one person?
Who shaved their chest.
Okay, I didn't think about that distinction. Okay, why'd you shave it, sir? Was there a reason?
No, it just gets really, really hairy.
when I was a kid, before that was an option, like that would have been so unmanly. And then there were, you know, basketball players shaving their armpits, and everything went south. But at the town pool, there was a one particular guy. He was a gorilla, a beast, covered on every inch of his body with hair, just a pelt of hair.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
I'm the lifeguard here.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I was here last weekend, too, when you came. This is awkward, but okay.
What's the
you have a large amount of hair on your body.
Oh, thank you.
It's neither here nor there as a compliment or otherwise. But as you can see, it's like a sponge soaking up a lot of the water when you get into the pool and taking out a dangerous amount when you exit the pool.
I try to shake myself like a dog at the edge of the pool when I get out. I think half the water ends up back in there, so...
I wish it was. I think you need to squeeze down on one of the stairs or on the diving board over the pool, because what it's doing is there's a lot of divers from the high board hitting their foreheads on the bottom of the pool right after you exit.
My pelt of hair is taking that much water out of the high dive pool.
Well, you seem to get in and out a lot and shake a lot, more than an average swimmer.
Like I said, I try to shake by the edge of the pool, but not enough of it is getting back in, you're saying.
Not at all.
Because I noticed that the grass on the other side is dying from the chlorine, so... I know the water is coming off me. You're just saying.
So you know you come here and kill grass? You're aware of that fact, even before I told you you're emptying the pool out.
Guys, you've got to assume that there are going to be people with hair in their bodies that are going to take a certain amount of water with them. You shouldn't have the grass that close to the pool.
Okay, most of the hairy gentlemen, like I said, sir.
Excuse me.
You're making me be rude.
I am not.
You get on a diving board and ring out like all the other hairy men.
Look, maybe you need to dedicate 4 lifeguards to sort of squeegeeing me down when I come out of the pool. You're the one who wants the water in your pool. I don't care, because I don't dive.
I just jump in the
edge of the diving pool.
We cut to the next week as that man is entering the pool grounds. There's an announcement going on. And folks, due to us putting in a request for extra lifeguards to squeegee down the hairy swimmers...
Oh, hon, this is about me. Listen.
The state government is closing down these publicly funded pools this weekend. Everyone's going to have to go home. We can't afford to stay open because of the hairy men.
Give me a towel. I got to cover up. They'll know it's me.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
I don't know. It was. It's not me.
It is you.
No.
Look, Rebecca, that's the hairy man who's the reason you're not going to learn to swim today.
Daddy. Daddy, that means they won't let me go to camp.
That's right. And you have that hairy man to blame.
Hey, hairy man. I've been saving up to go to summer camp for years.
I'm making her pay for it.
And scene. Humans, that's how it works. We talk a little bit and we launch into a scene. But give us a word, studio audience here. Give us a word to begin. We'll tell us. We'll think about it, talk about it. And I heard butterfly is the first. Someone said podcast, a little on the nose. Well, once I was at a Beverly Hills. What was the first one? Butterfly?
Butterfly.
Mm. That's, I have a daughter now, and those are... She's the age is more important. She's 3, and the butterflies work their way into a lot of stories. That's my only point.
Butterflies are, I guess, somewhat inspirational because they're transformative. They start off as ugly little...
Right, that's why they're in children's stories.
Yeah.
A lot of lessons to gain.
Yeah.
You got to feel sorry for caterpillars, though, getting judged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't seem fair.
But then again, caterpillars have to... eat the leaves of your plants in order to grow into being beautiful butterflies.
You're saying that's negative?
Yeah. Then later they sit on them and jump to other flowers and pollinate them. So
they balance out their negativity.
Sort of. They eat the plants,
but they do destroy the world around them to become the beautiful thing they become later.
Right.
Like a supermodel.
Yeah.
Yeah. The message is like you're ugly right now, but if you tear down everything around you, perhaps you can transform into something you're not, and then you'll be beautiful.
For 3 days.
Come here, honey. What's the matter?
I just don't think I'll ever be beautiful.
Honey, that's not true. Your mother, have you seen the pictures of her when she was young?
Yeah.
She had a brow that went straight across her forehead.
Uh-huh.
And she had a little upper, you know... hair on her upper lip. She had a mustache.
Yeah, she had a mustache.
I was trying to find a way around saying
mustache. You could just say she had a mustache.
Yeah, she had a mustache.
Uh-huh.
But you know what she did? She ran roughshod over her nerdy friends, and she waxed herself, and she dieted, and she dyed her hair, and she changed herself, and then she forgot all those people. And then she married me.
And now she's like such a babe.
As long as she keeps up an intense regimen of depilating and dieting.
I'm going to get to meet her one day, right? Like, one day she's going to have time in her day to, like, hang out with me so that she's not just always
Honey,
at the gym.
If she wastes time with you, her mustache will start to grow. And she'll be sedentary and she'll start to gain weight.
Oh, gosh.
And Daddy won't love her anymore.
Oh, no.
Hi, honey. Just passing through. Back from Botox. On my way to Pilates.
Mom!
Looking good. Oh. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it.
You know it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jesus.
Who's that?
Oh.
That's your daughter.
Can't hear you.
She's so beautiful.
Oh, where did she go?
Oh, you're looking for my wife?
Yeah.
She just left.
Okay, I'm her personal trainer, whatever you want to call me.
That's the man who has sex with your mother.
Dad.
And see, humans. That's what happens when you shave your chest. So give us another word, please.
Lipstick.
Lipstick. No lipstick stories.
I have a question, because I haven't worn
question.
I haven't worn a ton of lipstick in my life. But every time I put on chapstick, I like want to eat it. So I guess my question is, what does lipstick taste like?
Not the same as chapstick.
No.
No, it has a slightly different... Wait, haven't you ever kissed a girl with
lipstick?
Never. Oh, that is the most insulting answer to that question.
And I'm engaged, too, to tell you about my relationship.
I mean, yeah, it's got, like, it's not as good as chapstick. It has, like, I don't know, like a clay taste.
Wait, hold up. Has anyone ever kissed someone so hard they could taste what the...
Yes,
yeah, 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like to lick her, just lick across the mouth just to prime it up.
Just to get a sense.
Yeah. I'm in the wrong here.
No. I think you're just with a natural beauty. But right. I mean, yes, definitely people get lipstick on them. For sure.
I've got a shade here that I think will look great on you. If you want to apply that and then blot.
Okay.
And the really good news is you can just chomp down on it. And this lipstick, you could munch it right up. There was a lot of complaints. I can't eat my lipstick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What is this? This is great.
It's...
What is that, like a pomegranate, but like through a sock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, obviously you can't just, you know, throw pomegranate on a stick and it's lipstick. But if you do filter it through a sock, it gives you just a really rich color, just a nice red that brings out. And then... What a great afternoon snack.
Oh, my gosh. Now I don't have to put, like, a bar in my purse, just a lipstick.
Mm-hmm. Actually, are you interested in any of our blush?
Sure. This one's nice. I feel like this would be great for contouring and, what is this?
Just pour it in a glass of water and it's Kool-Aid.
Oh.
And this trend really caught on of lipstick being edible, and it became even more than a trend. At first, it was just kind of like Pinkberry, but then it just became a staple that was served at restaurants and then became part of our culture. And then about 20 years later, we cut to a Thanksgiving dinner where the mom is bringing a piping hot lipstick in from the kitchen and placing it down on the table. And here we go. Mama's secret lipstick recipe.
This looks outstanding. Can you pass me some of the mascara?
Oh, sure thing. We're here.
Just pour that right on there. Mm.
Jeremy, that's lipstick. Don't rub it on your lips. It's for eating.
Hey, look at me. I'm pretty from the olden days.
Now, it's funny you say that about rubbing it on your lips. There's a legend that that's what they used to use lipstick for.
That's ridiculous.
No, certainly not. That's just like the old story that Thanksgiving was when pilgrims and Native Americans were friends.
And scene. All right, humans. I brought a few different audio files with me. That doesn't mean people who like audios. Audio. No. So I've been scammed, and I'm sure a percentage of this audience has, by... There's two different scams. One is a robotic call, a robotic voice that calls from the IRS. Has anyone... Raise your hand if
I've
you've
had,
gotten
I've
that
I've had
call.
The non-robotic.
Well, that's what we're going to listen to. So I've gotten the robotic one for years, and the first time I got it, I was freaked out, and I thought it sounded fishy, so I did look it up on the internet, and it immediately tells you. If you just put IRS... voicemail, or you put anything about scam or IRS or anything.
Go to a mailbox or something? Didn't you get down the line there where they were like, meet me here with a check? No, that wasn't you?
I don't think that was okay. Me. I do have several scams in my life. But recently, now I got this real guy calling me. So you must have gotten the same guy.
I get, when it happened to me, I was getting a call every 10 minutes. And I don't answer anything that I don't get a name coming up because it means I don't really know this person.
Right.
Who cares? I'll
right.
check it later.
So let's listen to this.
Okay.
So this is the, you know what file it is.
I need you or your retained attorney of record to return the call. The issue at hand is extremely time sensitive. My name is Officer David Carter. An hotline to my division is 202-836-9694. I repeat, it's 202-836-9694. Do not disregard this message and do return the call. If you don't return the call and if I don't hear from your attorney either, then the only thing I can do is wish you a very good luck as the situation badly unfolds on you. Again, this message is for you, and this is Officer David Carter contacting you from
he
the Internal Revenue Service.
He changed his name in the middle of
it. And oh, really? Take care.
I think that's the first time I've noticed that. I think he says Derek Carter the first time, and he ends saying David Carter. Dear listeners, fact check me on that.
That would be a 50% better scam if his last name had been Gupta.
Yeah. That's all you would have to do.
There is so much funny. Imagine if the IRS did call you with a kind of threatening, all I can wish you is good luck as badness unfolds.
Can I tell you, I got a letter from the government that wasn't a scam, but was similarly like colloquial, and it was letting me know I was a bad driver. I have a lot of moving violations and a lot of accidents, and I got this letter. And it's, Dear Mr. Roberts, your driving record indicates that you are not a safe driver, blah, blah, blah. It went on. And then the best part of the letter was halfway through, it anticipated the thought patterns of a bad driver and said, we know you may think you're a good driver. And then I asked my wife, I said, does this say to do anything? And it didn't. It was just a reprimand to let me know what they thought of me.
Well, that makes sense because the big problem that a lot of bad drivers have is they're too confident and decisive, and they're not sort of questioning themselves or nervous at any time.
About a decade ago, I gave up trying to defend that I was a good driver. I'm clearly a bad driver. I just am, you know.
We cut to a guy opening his mail. What is this, honey?
What is it?
It's a letter. Wait a minute. No? It's on government stationery.
Oh, no. Is it? What's the problem?
At first, I thought it might be the IRS. I'm not sure what department. It says that I'm a bad listener to you.
Oh, really?
Dear Mr. Besser, mm-hmm. When interacting with your wife, mm-hmm. sometimes... can you not say mm-hmm?
I'm only saying mm-hmm to the parts I agree with.
That's everything so far. Blah, blah, blah. You're not a good listener. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
I'll try, but no, in my head, I'm thinking I'm...
Well, how would they know? How could they... I'm a good listener to you.
The only thing I can think of is there was a form I filled out when I was applying to get my mother Social Security benefits. and there was a little section about your husband and his listening abilities, and I thought it was part of getting the money for her and getting a nurse. So
what
I
did you say
out.
About me?
Well, I said you weren't a good listener.
Was that one check box or a series of questions?
Listen to me. I just told you.
Bing bong.
Oh, that's the doorbell.
For the record, I heard it too. I just didn't say it out loud.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Good. I am pleased to see you receive my letter.
Oh, did you send the letter about the listening?
Yes, I sent letter about listening, but also my record indicate you are not good reader.
Oh.
Sorry, me? I'm being rude. It's me, Jared Carter.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carter.
Please ignore the man forcibly holding my mouth shut as I try to speak.
I didn't. Oh, there they are. You're right. Why are they doing that?
Oh, you know, talking government stuff. So
I don't see how you have any right to tell me I'm a bad listener. I don't know. It's the government's business.
It seems helpful to me. It could improve the quality of our relationship.
Please, the government should be in every part of our lives.
I know as far as traffic lights, you want them involved. Imagine if we had to build them ourselves. I don't know how.
No, you don't want to make traffic lights.
Even a stop sign. I don't have the metal.
Okay, this is beside the point because that's about safety and you could kill someone with a car. You
this could be about safety. What if I was trying to tell you there's a fire and you're saying, oh, yeah, it is hot in here. It's like, no, a fire.
Yeah, we got that here. She talks about the temperature all the time.
I told them in the form that I'll talk about the temperature and say, and you don't take a hint and go adjust the thermostat. You sit there watching your TV. Oh, reality TV, so crazy. You.
I don't know why you call the news reality TV. I'm paying attention to the election.
It's not fictional. Anything that's not fictional is reality TV. See, he doesn't listen. He doesn't.
No, I'm seeing it right now.
Mr.
So
Carter,
glad I sent the letter.
What can we do, Mr. Carter?
We were watching a documentary last night. She called it reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Tell him what it is. What would you call it?
That's reality TV.
You see?
Yeah. What was the documentary about?
This Twisted Sister, the band.
Oh, so vapid. That's worthless.
What's that have to do with anything?
Please, it's your taste. It's despicable. You should be contributing in a bigger way. You know, learn to build a stop sign or something like what I do.
Okay, do I have to pay a fine or check in at some point?
No, just be aware of it. I just want you to admit it a lot.
That's the beginning of approaching any problem is realizing you have one.
Okay.
I'm actually glad I filled out that.
Can I just respond?
He's not listening to me.
Yeah, it's like right now it's playing out in front of me exactly what we said.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she mm-hmm. will say something mm-hmm. and I hear her, but I have a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. She always calls that not listening if I don't fully understand her right away.
Okay, doesn't sound like you're saying I'm sorry.
If I've been completely clear and then he asked me a question, that means he's not listening. Isn't that right?
That's what it feels like from over here, Jared Carter's side of the room.
Derek, the question...
Wait, I thought you were Jared Carter.
I'm all kinds of Carters. What?
You came in here and said you were Jared Carter.
Uh-huh.
Now you just said you were David Carter. This is some kind of scam, honey.
He didn't say
that?
He was from the Department of Consistent Names. Stop niggling.
And scene. There's no such department. Now, I also got Humans. We got my at-home listeners to write in some intro questions for you guys. So I'll throw out a few and see what you like. Comfy says, what was your last experience that didn't live up to your expectations? Hope it's not this show, folks.
What's the first? That's for these guys?
No. It's for you guys up here. What's the first time you disappointed your parents? Ask Felipe something or other. Sombrero. Have you had a threesome? What if the answer is just yes? What does your grandma think of this? Not much. All right. Any of those guys? Last experience didn't live up to your expectations. First time you disappointed your parents. Have you had a threesome?
I remember the first time I really got in trouble, where like I couldn't, you know, I couldn't watch TV that night or whatever.
You had a threesome?
It was when I had a threesome. It was mostly my parents were confused. I was just sitting in our front yard and went into the garage and found a hammer and just hammered away a brick that was like in our front garden. Mm-hmm. I just like was like, no, this is okay, and just hammered away a brick and kind of was like making a game out of it, like I was doing something helpful. Like, this is like construction work. I'm hammering this brick, and just was like breaking our garden planter. And my dad was like, why would this ever be a game? Like, why would you ever think...
How old were you? Do you remember?
5, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I was little. And then I remember I couldn't watch TV that night. And I was like, well, Dad, what if I just watch what you're watching anyway? That's certainly punishment, right? It's not like I'm watching Kids Incorporated like I want to watch. I'm watching the news with you. And then I think I just like slowly walked it back until I was just watching TV anyway.
Well, let me ask you, young man, what do you think your punishment should be?
I think I should not be able to watch any shows that I already was not planning on watching.
Okay. I don't think that that's a reasonable punishment.
Yeah, you're right.
What you did broke one of the rules in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to know that you understand the gravity of what you did, so let me hear a punishment that's equivalent To the crime.
Well, I left the gate open and the dog got out, so mm-hmm. I should be forced to make sure the dog is wherever the dog feels like it should be. So that it is happy and not scared that the gate is open, meaning that it is free to travel the world in a way that is overwhelming to a dog.
I didn't even pick up on what the punishment was and all that.
So, we're good?
No! Young man, I expect you to own responsibility for what you did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, your job is to watch over the dog.
Yes.
When we got the dog, I had you sign a contract saying that you would take responsibility for the dog because you wanted it.
Yes, and thank you for the dog.
You're welcome, but that's not what we're
talking about. I changed its name, by the way.
Excuse me?
It was Jared. I want it to be Derek now.
We cut to years later. Zach, you cheated on me. What am I supposed to do about this?
Oh, listen,
you cheated on me with another girl.
I know, and I'm really sorry, but I want you to trust me. So here's
what am I supposed to do?
I swear from this day forward, I will only ever have sex with you if you are nearby and I can get to you quickly. No, that's not enough.
How are you getting
sex
out of this punishment?
No, I shouldn't be. I was
just for curiosity's sake. What is my mile radius from you that I need to be?
I don't know. Do you have a car?
Do I have a car?
Are you going to come?
Do you know this little about me and you're fucking me?
Look, I'm...
I should break up with you at the very least.
Sorry, I'm feeling like it's awkward that I'm still here.
No, you stay. You stay.
And scene. Three-way almost happened. Okay, let's see here. What was the last thing you did that made you feel like a kid again? Asked Justin Wern. When was the last time you were engulfed with rage? Maybe it was the same moment. Asked Senior Fartface. Eric Patrick asked, what would make you judge a band so harshly that you won't even listen to them?
Oh, I have one for that. As soon as I hear a band rhyme a word with the same word and act like I didn't notice, I'm out. It's like if you couldn't bother to go to like rhymezone.com and look up any other word that rhymes with the word you ended that last sentence with. Like, Bob Marley has rhymes that are at least not rhymes, but are different words entirely. He's like, he rhymes Wolfpack with, God, something that doesn't rhyme with Wolfpack at all. But at least he was trying, you know?
What if the word has two meanings in the context? Like, what if it's a homonym or whatever?
Oh, nice. Still feels lazy.
Okay.
So you'd rather it not be a rhyme, then, is what you're saying. You admire Bob Marley just saying, I'm not going to rhyme this motherfucking...
For sure.
Stanza.
Yeah, because I think...
They seem like equal and opposite fails. They seem like they're neither one is...
Yeah.
But one to me, like, if you're not going to rhyme, at least you can have the artistic integrity to say something that you wanted to say, as opposed to, well, I couldn't think of a word to rhyme, so I had to get back to saying the exact same word.
So here, check this out. I'm just... And tell me if you got any ideas. I've just been noodling around.
Okay.
When you're gone, you know I miss you, girl. When you're here, you know I like to drink beer. When you're gone, you know I miss you, girl.
Okay.
When you're here, you know kickball's a sport.
Okay, hold on. A couple of things. One, I feel you jammed kickball in there because you know that's one of my favorite things in life. Because it didn't seem like it applied to the story you were telling.
I'm not looking for this to be mainstream, but this is niche.
Okay.
This would be, I'd probably release it.
Like I heard year right. and beer in here, but they never lined up with each other. Like you could have used that, those as rhymes.
Where it comes at the same
at the
point.
End of the sentence, right.
Can I run something by you guys? That I've been just noodling around.
It's my sound engineer. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh.
Do you guys mind if I know I'm just a sound engineer?
We're rolling on all of this, by the way.
Oh, okay. I've had this song kick around in my head, and with two artists in the room, I would love to run it by you.
I'd love to hear it, yeah. I was looking for input.
At the top of a mountain, I found my only dream. Playing kickball at the top of a mountain, kicking a ball. Love to play kickball.
Okay, stop it. This is why I don't let my sound engineers pitch songs during someone else's record.
Sounding really good in here, guys.
Thanks, guys.
The spoken word part or the songs?
It's all coming in crystal clear.
Great.
Once again, I feel you're jamming dodgeball in there to try to please me.
Kickball, first of all.
Oh, you were talking about kickball or dodgeball?
I played it back. It was kickball.
He's very good.
Hi, sorry, excuse me. I'm here with your lunch order.
Oh, thank you.
I ordered lunch. I got Panera.
Hey, okay, this may be out of line, but we're kind of throwing everything against the wall right now.
Oh.
Do you have a kickball song in your back pocket?
Oh, my gosh. Boy, do I.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm actually a huge fan of you guys. And, you know, I always tell myself, like, as an artist, it's just important to always be ready. So, wow. Here we go. Ding dong. Opportunity knocking. Here, who got the pick two with the tomato?
That's me.
Okay. Sorry. I don't want that tomato soup to get hot.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Here's something I was noodling around with. If I were picking two, I'd pick kick and ball. I'd pick ball and kick. I'm picking two kickball. I'm picking kickball. Even if I could only pick one, I'd pick kickball.
Kickball.
Oh, yeah.
Kickball, 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 kickball.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
If I had to pick two, I'd pick kickball. One is
ball, kick it hard.
One is ball.
Kickball, kickball, kickball.
Ball, kick it hard.
Kickball, kick it hard.
Kickball,
kickball, kickball, kick it hard.
I'm not getting any of this, guys.
And scene. Damn that sound engineer. Just looking at our sound engineer, he wasn't laughing at that at all. Did not like that.
That's not how it works.
Let's get another word from our studio audience. Rollerblades, inline skates.
I had a girlfriend who before...
Bragger. Inline...
Yeah. Nice.
End of story. But before inline skates, she was into skating for exercise. But it was a weirdo thing back then. And so she had like the four wheels per skate, you know, and she would go around down by the lake. It was in Milwaukee and skate. And it was, she was kind of ahead of her time. Somehow.
Well, it was big in the 70s, so it wasn't weird then.
Right. Mm-hmm. Patrick Swayze has an excellent roller skating movie.
What are you talking about?
There's a...
Rollerball?
One of his first...
Or Rollerball?
Yeah, it was like, it was sort of...
You talking about Rollerball?
When was Roll Bounce set?
No. Rollerball was about it being a sport. This was just about... It was kind of like Saturday Night Fever, but it's set in the world of roller skating rinks. I'm going to find it. You guys can improvise, and I will find
that info. Will help us after we're done with the roller skating scene. Yeah, I guess any hobby has the best guy at it, huh?
Right. When inline skates came out, were people who were really good at roller skates bummed out?
But according to Ian, they were treated like madmen.
It's a weirdo thing.
Hey, pal. Hey.
Yeah, what? What's up?
What's up with the wheels on the feet? This is my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, I'm just out for a skate.
You're what?
I'm out for a skate.
Is this a skating rink to you? Is my neighborhood a skating rink?
No, I don't think I ever said that.
Then stop being a fucking weirdo and use your feet.
Whoa, easy.
We have children walking around here.
Hey,
what in God's name's going on over here? Where are your shoes, young man?
They put wheels on his shoes like a fucking freak.
These are special shoes with wheels. They're
it's not
skates.
A highway. It's a goddamn sidewalk.
Excuse me.
Sidewalk.
A highway would not be a good place to do
walk
this.
Is the operative word.
Excuse me. I'm pushing my baby here. Please leave. You're upset.
I didn't mean to upset the baby.
Only this stroller should have wheels, not your feet. Goodness.
Hold on. No one here has ever heard of roller skating. Did none of you see the Patrick Swayze movie whose name escapes me?
Yeah, Skate Town USA.
Oh, Skate Town USA.
Skate Town USA.
The movie involves a street gang leader who challenges a handsome young skater in a championship contest at the local roller disco rink. Everybody knows that movie.
We all know that.
Well, but it's fiction like Star Wars. It doesn't exist.
Well, I'm here to tell you that it does exist. And that it's a great way to get exercise.
How do you get exercise if you're just rolling?
You have to move your legs to roll. Unless you're going downhill.
Yeah, maybe I'll get my exercise from flying the Millennial Falcon.
That would be...
Yeah, maybe I'll get exercise
R2-D2-ing.
Yes, perhaps I shall get fit while trying to walk like C-3PO. Certainly not. Yes, baby.
Please, baby, don't make a Star Wars.
Fucking skaters.
Can I read you one of the comments about Skate Town USA?
Sure.
Please.
Well, as a former U.S. Marine and roller skater myself, this film has considerable interest for me. I saw it twice when it first came out. After that, it was about 28 years until I got my 16mm transfer DVD.
All right. If you were saying 16mm, I was going to say some gun you got.
Mm. Here's another one, and Star Wars happens to be in this comment.
All right,
Star Wars was the movie for every other 7-year-old at the time, but it was as it was for me. But seeing this film after more than 20 years instantly invaded my senses. I smelled the popcorn, felt the heat of summer, and the and the herd handful of change my friends and I would use to get into the double features playing at the theater, and on and on. But yeah, some people apparently liked Skate Town.
Did that,
yeah,
sure. Did that guy retroactively change what the most important movie to him when he was seven was? He was like, yeah, every seven-year-old loves Star Wars, including me, but now that I'm an adult, when I was seven, I loved
like, what he liked as a seven-year-old.
I decided seven-year-old me liked this better. I want to just double back because I think we're leaving something on the table, which is
millennial
when
Falcon?
Yes, when
millennial Falcon.
When Chris Pine hosts SNL, they should do Millennial Falcon, where like everybody on the Starbridge gets a trophy or whatever. Yeah, I think they have to do it. So anyway, you came up with something
not
really
a mistake,
good.
My thought exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. We own that now. That's all.
That's all.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me you've never heard of my ship before?
Yeah, that's explicitly what I'm telling you.
This is the Millennial Falcon.
Uh-huh.
We made it to the Dagobah system whenever we damn well please. We made it back at a speed that was convenient to us and paid for by our parents.
Hey, Cap.
Yeah, what's up, R2 Janet?
I was, like, plotting those stars that we needed to plot, mm-hmm. and I was like, what is a star, really?
Yeah.
And then I, like, knew the answer because education. But I was like, what's my star? And so I just need to, I need to go, like, I think I'm going to need 2 weeks off.
I think you should take those times, and I want you to think of any stars that have been overly aggressive to you.
Thank you.
And I want you to check those microaggressions in those stars.
Thank you so much.
You want a candle?
Hey. Ew. Your chest hair is poking out.
Insane.
Now hear this podcast festival. Anaheim in October. Improv for Humans will be there. October 29th. Comedy Bang Bang will be there too. And my favorite podcast, Bitch Sesh. And Improv for You. Wild horses be drawn in Matty B. Wild horses, oh, be drawn in.
Okay, I'm loving these questions. Let's see here. Huh, some of these are yes or no answers. Like, I don't know how what is the best soup is going to help us. Did you like your first pet? Asked Nate Slinker.
No, I'm a sociopath.
We had to get rid of the pet that was there when I was born was a cat, and I'm very much allergic to cats, so they had to get rid of it after a year. Is that bad? Aww. Sorry.
I've got a few pet stories that involve my daughter.
And your daughter's here.
She is. So when Josie, she wanted a dog, but we were in a duplex and we were renting, we couldn't have a dog, so we got mice. And mice only live for about 3 years. And the mouse was sick, and one day the mouse died while Josie was at school, and she was told just before going in the house, because we didn't want her to be shocked, and she got down on her knees, like the way Willem Dafoe looked after he got shot in Platoon, and she screamed up to heaven, "No!" And it sounded like she was being killed. And so my wife, while wanting to comfort her, also had to say, "Josie, stop it." Because the whole neighborhood would have thought that she was being killed. Then my other pet story with Josie actually involves virtual pets. So again, she wanted pets. And we had the mice. Oh, another thing about the mice was that I got one of those habit trail things that has plastic ledges for the thing to go on. Well, you can't keep shavings on those. So when the mouse shits and pisses on them, it reeks like the devil's asshole. And her room would just be horrifically stinky. But she was a little kid, and I'd say, "Boy, Josie, does that bother you?" She's like, "No, I don't even notice it." And then once a week, I had to clean that cage, and it would make me want to vomit. So eventually, I had to get an aquarium that I could just keep shavings in the bottom. But the virtual fish, so she gets these fish, and it's a tropical fish. And it's hardcore. You have to check the pH all virtually and the temperature and make sure you feed them the correct amount and don't put fish in that would eat other fish. So it's very intense. So one day, Josie comes in all upset and she goes, "Daddy, all of the fish are dead." And I said, "No, Josie, I said, even if they are, we'll just reset it. It's okay." So I go in and sure enough, there are 30 virtual fish floating sideways on the screen of her computer. And so I check, and nope, this is going to be like real life. If you mess up the pH or you forget to feed, and by the way, it's all accelerated time, so you know an hour is a day or whatever. So I don't know if they had starved or died of too much acid in the water or what the problem was, but it was a fish holocaust. And there was nothing I could do. And I was so angry at these people who had made a toy where your kid could kill all these fish and never have them back.
They won't even let you buy back into the program. You're just banned for life.
I can't remember if you just gone and it's an empty, but Josie would have nothing of it. And then all these other games that involve taking care of little creatures. Give me one of those. What were those other ones?
Tamagotchi.
Yeah, there was these little guys. There were all these little cute guys you had to feed, and she was done with all that because she was scared she was going to kill them.
Boss, can I ask you about these latest programming notes?
Sure.
It says here that I need to go back through and make the graphics of the fish rotting more gruesome.
Yes. Children really need to understand what they've done. Just to have the fish floating isn't enough, and even to have it look like the way a normal fish would rot doesn't drive home the point. I want to look the way a fish would rot if poked upon and really thrashed about by a shark.
Oh, okay, but I guess it was like freaking me out to look at it, and I know the age suggestion is 5 to 7.
If you aren't throwing up by the end of your workday, you have failed. Oh.
Okay, I really I don't want to lose this job. It's just, I know it's to teach kids how to take care of pets, and I don't think a kid would introduce a shark into the water tank. So, you know, maybe we should just have the natural course of death.
Well, who knows when someone might hack into your water tank. You need to be prepared for that. Someone might hack a shark into your water tank.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I finished up the program where the bowl of Frosted Flakes falls into the fish tank.
Oh, yeah? What happens to the fish in that simulation?
Well, they die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
But in an extra gruesome way, since it's not a natural food, right?
Yeah, it's pretty gruesome. They sort of decay and mix with the soggy cornflakes. And it makes a kind of a paste. But this would involve a circumstance. I don't think it's going to come up often, but you pay me what you pay me. So it would be a kid dumping a bowl of Frosted Flakes into the tank just before going on vacation for a month with his parents. And at the end, you would come back to this sort of fish and Frosted Flakes paste.
Yeah, well, that's life. We have to program every possibility.
Is it life or is it the rarest possible circumstance?
That's what's great about today's video games. You think of every possibility that could happen.
Hey, boss, I'm not totally comfortable with the program you wanted me to run where...
Which one was that again?
Basically, it inserts a virus in their computer where if a fish does die, that for the rest of their life, whatever computer they use, occasionally the dead fish will arrive and haunt... and haunt them no matter how far away from it they get so that they can never
That's
forget.
That's the way... Have you ever had any, like, a parent die? It doesn't go away after a week.
No, I didn't
It'll
even
come
want
up,
to think
a song will happen, you'll smell some leaves or something, a peppermint on a Christmas
sure, yeah,
tree.
Sure, yeah, no, you have all that in here. A song will remind them
I mean,
of the dead fish.
That's true. I do think of my dead mom every time I hear that kickball song on the radio.
And sing. Kicka, kicka, picka. Prom and Jessica's kickball song actually was pretty good. I actually liked it.
Untapped talents at Panera, you know?
Eric, I think it's your turn. Ladies and gentlemen, our famous, the first intern at Improv for Humans was known as Eric.
Is this Eric who likes the milk?
No, that's Thomas.
Oh, okay.
I was like, is that Eric? No. So hold on, Eric. I'm introducing you. It's a big intro. Did your girlfriend run away? Where'd she go? She had to go to the bathroom? She's missing this part?
She went to the Beverly Center. It's right across the street.
So, Eric, you were our first intern, right? Maybe the second one. But you were paid because you were doing programming there or something, correct? So we called you Eric the Paid Intern.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're a big hit. You've been away for a while. You have a real job now.
Yeah.
And now you're back. So, Zach, can you share the mic with Eric? He'll
Absolutely.
Have to stand there for as he sets this up. That's fine. Just pick it up there, Eric.
Okay.
Now, Eric, we had you go do interviews this week. Tell us where you went.
I went to a bridge in Santa Monica.
A bridge?
Yeah. I interviewed a guy.
See, this is why I love
think
Eric.
Where the bridge in Santa Monica is.
When he just said bridge before he said Santa Monica, I'm like, what bridge is he under? Because I think one of the things with Eric was he would always somehow end up interviewing homeless people who were crazy.
I don't know if these guys were. I mean, one of them tried selling me drugs, but he wasn't like crazy. I mean, I didn't buy the drug. I just did
That's good. What drug was he trying to sell you?
I don't know. He wouldn't say.
He wouldn't say? That's a hard sell.
That's a poor business plan.
Yeah.
Drugs.
It's a narrow
what kind?
Market.
Wait till you get inside.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I know a setup. You got to commit to buying the drugs before I tell you what I've got.
We wandered down the alley. All right. I came. What are the drugs?
All right. First of all, close your eyes.
It's already dark in this alley.
Just close your eyes.
Okay.
Here, put your hands in this bucket.
Ooh, it feels like worms.
Nah, it's spaghetti. That's just a trick. Okay, here. No, here we go. Close your eyes. This one's real.
Eyeballs!
No, it's grapes with the skin peeled off.
Okay, you asshole. I thought you had drugs
I
here.
I do have drugs. I'm sorry that I'm also playful. But you do.
Thank you, Eric. All right. So we're at the bridge in Santa Monica. Who here knows the famous Santa Monica Bridge?
Nobody. I've never heard of a bridge in Santa Monica.
No, it's if you go under the pier, there's like a little bridge that...
You know this bridge, sir?
I just drove past it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you homeless? Goes over the pier. Okay. Yeah, over to the pier. Okay. And any more setup? Or is it all in the interview?
Yes, I guess.
Okay, let's hear the interview. Let's go all lights out so we can really focus on this. You can have a seat there, Eric. Thanks. We can go lights out and hear either one of them. It doesn't matter which one, right? Does it matter which one? Which one do you like more?
Hey, man, excuse me.
Oh, here we go.
Excuse me.
A little louder.
interviews for a show called Improv for Humans. Would you mind if I asked you a couple of questions?
All right.
What?
Sure.
Oh, cool. All right, man.
Let me turn up the lights first.
Okay, yeah, I forgot what the questions were.
Can you have your hand on the free or the pause button?
Who are you voting for in the upcoming presidential election?
Clinton.
Why?
She's not Trump. We don't have a lot of options.
What do you not like about Trump? Well, wait, was I supposed to ask what you liked about the person? What do you like about, not like about? First start with what do you like about Clinton, and then what do you not like about Trump?
Clinton is competent. Everybody's very scared about all the things that she might lie about or whatever, but at least she has lied about predictable things, or smartly. So it seems.
What did she lie about?
The email server, although I think a big part of it was just that she had very inadequate help, her guru. Yeah. I think they keep calling him in the news. The guy was just a normal IT dude who was not up to the task of securing confidential email. She shouldn't have had it on her own private server. I work in tech, so this is a thing that's been flying around a lot. She shouldn't have had that, but that's a very small thing compared to the large amount of unsavory opinions that kind of come out of Trump's camp.
Mm-hmm. What have you done to help the candidate you're voting for in this case, Clinton, in the swing states?
In the swing states?
Yeah.
Zero, nothing, nada. I live in California. I haven't really concerned myself too much with the swing states.
Me neither. When's the last time you were grounded? Have you ever been grounded?
Grounded?
Yeah, by your parents.
By my parents.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
I'm
not happy with anything I've done since.
Oh, well, elaborate on that.
No.
Come on.
I said no.
Come on.
No.
I'll tell you.
Straight refuse.
They ever spank you?
What, when I was a kid? I'm sure. Yeah, I used to get a shoe thrown at me a lot.
Oh. What'd you do? What was the last thing you did to get a shoe thrown at you? What kind of shoe was it?
It was a chancla.
What?
A sandal. God, I don't remember what I did. That was a long time ago.
How come you got two colored shoes on?
Old habit.
Oh, yeah?
Since elementary school, you can't wear the same colored chucks. It's just not natural.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have any more questions. You like dogs?
I do like dogs.
Hi, dogs, too, man. Thanks for the interview.
Thank you.
Once again, Eric's the best part of the interview. Right out of the blocks, I forgot the questions. That was your first question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you don't... Are you for Clinton?
I haven't really thought about it.
You haven't thought about it? When are you going to start thinking about it?
Probably when you have me go down to the porn centers.
Are you registered to vote, I should hope?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Eric? Where's your family from?
Washington.
Washington. D.C. or state?
State.
Okay. Why don't you care about the swing states? We all got to care about them.
Yeah.
What if your girlfriend needs an abortion in 3 years? And Trump's put a Supreme Court that won't let her.
Wait, I don't.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not voting for Trump.
Well, if you don't vote for Hillary, you're voting for Trump, my friend. If you don't get your family in Ohio too.
Yeah.
All right, think about it. All right, give Eric the paid intern a hand there. Let's do something on that.
So Thomas, you mentioned that your parents would sometimes punish you corporally. Can you give me an example of that?
Sure, yeah. They would throw like a wooden boat at me.
Okay, hold on. Let's talk about that. What size boat?
He flashes back. All right, you really disappointed me. Go find a boat. Go find one of the wooden boats out in the house and bring it back, and you're going to get paddled with it 3 times.
How big?
You decide.
Okay.
5 minutes later. It's a little sunfish.
Yeah.
Little 16-foot sailboat, huh?
Yeah, just a sunfish. Replica. Yeah.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit you with this sunfish because it's not big enough. You're going to have to go find a bigger boat.
Replica. Like a Force 5 or something?
Yeah.
Okay, let me clarify something here. So now, a replica, mm-hmm. but to scale? Was it a...
Yeah, scale replica.
You a just, scale replica.
So just it doesn't a, float.
So it was a full-sized...
It's identical to the boat. It's just not made out of a material that you could put on water.
Now, why? These were laying around your backyard?
They were in the house. Yeah, there were some in the solarium. There were some in the study.
Did your father make these? How were they there?
Oh, no. He didn't make them. They were there when we moved in.
Now, in the story, you say that you went and got one. That wasn't good enough. He sent you out for another. How many full-size replica boats were in your yard?
Oh, not a ton. Maybe 24.
That's a ton. To the average person, that's a ton. That's 24 replica boats. What was the largest replica?
We cut to that family even earlier in time with the realtor as he's showing the house. Now, these boats will be moved before we move in? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, they're much more expensive. This is as is.
Oh, come on, sweetie. Stop asking, nitpicky questions. This is a great place, and it's finally in the right school district.
Sweetie, how do you get the boats out of the house?
You're not going to find another house at this price. I'm telling you, this 5 bedrooms in this neighborhood, if it wasn't for these boats, this would be a $1.2 million house.
Right.
Because of the boats,
but
they're
the boats
go
are
for
taking up a lot of the bedrooms.
These boats, they're replicas. If it's a 30-foot boat, it's got a sleeping cabin.
Sweetie, we can talk about all of this once we're moved in,
I know.
We don't need to ask the realtor about, paint swatches. Let's just get down the important things.
I think this is important. I assume when I read the description, comes with over 24 boats, that they were miniature boat replicas, not full replicas.
That wouldn't be much of a selling point. I wouldn't even include that in the ad.
That's like saying
some kid left toys in the playroom. I'm telling you this, but this house currently comes with 36 boats. 24 of them are outside.
We cut back to the interview about getting punished as a child.
Now, mm-hmm. being hit with a boat that size is devastating.
I didn't like it.
I'm beyond pleasure or displeasure. It sounds like it's something that could kill a human being, a 16-foot boat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, they're hard to swing.
Well, would he tip it onto you, roll it over you? What would happen?
I mean, it was pretty weak because he's kind of putting all his weight on one end. He can't really pick it up, and so it's just sort of sliding into my back.
We cut to that kid's father at the gym. Yeah, man, we can get you on all sorts of exercises. What are you looking to be able to do?
I just need one muscle in particular. Let me show you them. I don't know the names of muscles. Let me just show you this motion I do. I need to swing like a 16-foot sunfish sailboat. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what that is. What do you mean you need to swing it?
Yeah, as if, just to paddle someone. Not hurt them, just to teach them a lesson type.
You want to teach someone a lesson by hitting
them? Yeah, I don't need to swing them to knock it out. I just need a little...
You want to remind a kid you're in charge by just tapping him with a full-size boat.
So you're telling me that by the age of 16, after about 4 years of training,
mm-hmm.
your father could swing the boat.
At that point, yeah, but now I'm big enough to take the brunt of it.
And see. Should we listen to the next one too, Eric? Is it another Democrat?
No, it's a Trump guy.
Oh, a Trump guy. I got to say, that last guy sounded very reasonable. I like that guy. Pretty normal dude. All right, let's listen to the Trump supporter. I can't believe you found one. You want to give us a description? Yeah, get on mic. Where did you find this guy? Also on the bridge?
No, this guy is above the bridge.
Was the other one under the bridge?
Well, the other guy was under the... Yeah, yeah. So.
He was the one not being allowed to cross by the guy beneath the bridge.
No, so this guy was really weird.
he kept looking at me like really wide-eyed like this the whole time. I thought he was going to hit me. he probably was listening to it.
Okay. Let's do it.
Thank God we got that set up. We would have been lost without it.
All right, you can sit down, Eric. Thanks.
Hey, man, I'm doing interviews for a show called Improv for Humans. Could I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Who are you voting for in this upcoming election?
If I have to, Trump.
All right. Why? I'm not asking that like to bait you or anything. Just
lesser of two evils.
Why? Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why is he the lesser of two evils?
Because I disagree with more of what Hillary Clinton says than what he does.
What have you done to help your candidate in the swing states?
Nothing.
Have you ever been grounded?
Yes.
For what?
For what?
Hitting nephew, maybe.
Did your parents spank you for that?
Yes.
What was another reason you got grounded?
Did he nod his head no or something?
I don't know. Not listening.
When was the last time you talked to your father?
Years. I don't know exactly.
Have you ever stayed in a Trump hotel?
No.
I mean, either. What do you think about Benghazi? That's a thing.
Yeah.
You said you're voting for Trump. Never mind. What do you think about his toupee?
It's fine. Not relevant.
Yeah. Do you think that he's really going to build that wall he keeps talking about?
No.
Okay, we've heard enough,
Eric. Why don't vote for him if he's not going to do what he's going to say? I mean, he shouldn't, but, like... I mean, it's kind of weird building the wall, right?
Yeah.
That's all I got, man. Thanks. Huh? That's all I got, man. Thanks.
So, Eric, I like your interview style of telling... who you're interviewing, what you think about the questions in your experience.
And that's what he closed with. I mean, that's pretty weird. That's all I got. Bye.
Do then run off. All right, let's do something on that.
Mark's a bad influence, and I'm going to build a wall between our yard and his. I don't want you near that kid.
But come on, you can't just build a wall. That's crazy. Just I'll hang out with him less, I guess.
How does that help me?
What do you mean? Isn't that what
you
want?
He's a bad influence. I don't want him having a bad influence on you. I'm going to build a wall, and I'm going to extend that wall as long as I need to.
Like, you mean past our property?
If you both would walk in a direction away from our property, yeah, I'm going to keep a wall between you.
Dad, are you
saying... Ding dong. About a week later. Ding dong.
Hello? Oh,
hey, Ian. George from down the street. Hey man.
George,
haven't seen you in a...
Good to see you.
Yeah, 4th of July. Having a little problem with that wall you built out into the street.
Uh-huh.
We can barely even get around at this point, wondering what your plan is there, because it's pretty much taking up the whole street.
Talk to the daughter. She won't stay on the property.
All right, but you can see my point of view. I got to get to
work. No, I get it, but
and...
you look at the... I mean, this is my daughter. Imagine if your daughter was mixed up with that Mark kid.
Oh, Mark from next door?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
The guy with the concert T-shirts.
Doesn't the wall seem a little extreme? Can't you put a collar around him or something? So you know where he is? It's not your daughter you're worried about.
Oh, geez. That's not a bad idea. Less cost of building materials. I guess all I need is a receiver then. Something that would just, it could ping off. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea. You know what? I'll look into taking the wall down. I'm going to get a tracking collar.
Okay. Good to see you. See you 4th of July.
Yeah, I'll see you at the party.
Hey, so obviously you know your daughter's a very good student. We love having her here in class.
Oh, thank you.
We have a question, which is she's recently acquired a piece of jewelry.
You about the collar?
Yes. Okay, we were calling it a necklace, but it's...
No, it's a collar. Initially, I meant to put it on this kid, Mark, who lives next door, but his parents have more say over that than I do as far as... So I realized if you want to solve a problem, if you look anywhere but yourself, you're looking in the wrong place. So I stuck a collar on her.
On your own daughter, right?
Yep. Problem is, so what if I know where she is if I don't know if he's with her? So it was a stinky idea. I got a daughter with a collar I can't break because it explodes if you break it. And it's not really helping anything. I mean, I get a ping off it. I know where she is, but how the hell do I know whether that Mark kid's with her?
Right, okay. So that's a little outside the purview of a parent-teacher conference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just that you brought it up. I thought that's...
No, I brought up the collar because I was like, she's wearing an electronic collar, and she told us, you know, don't explode if you try to take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Which I wouldn't have done that to her. It was originally fabricated for that kid. I could... give a shit if he took it off and it blew up his head.
So you go to put it on Mark. His parents are like, hey, no way. You go to your daughter.
His father is a maniac. Came out with a baseball bat.
His father's crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And scene. Good job, Eric, the paid intern. Thanks for going out there. Yeah, exactly. Get your pictures with him after the show. Why are cats' tongues made of sandpaper? Asked Pumpkin Spice Mary.
I can answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
It's so they can tear meat off bones. It's just they have not as extreme as a lion, but a lion has they'll just, if they licked you, they would tear the flesh right off.
They lick it to the bone, yeah.
Yeah. So that is why they have that kind of tongue.
What's her life like year-round, Pumpkin Spice Mary?
You think she just gets tweety just this time of year, just to get out there?
September 1st, PSL season.
Pumpkin Spice Mary. We cut to content Pumpkin Spice Mary at a spring, walking into a spring break party. And it's one of those, you know, like when you're at a party and the front door opens, everyone always kind of glances over to see if they know that person or it's some hot person of the gender you're into walking in or something. And it doesn't usually slow you down or anything, but when it opened this time and Pumpkin Spice Mary came in, everyone was like, wait a minute. This isn't the fall. What's going on?
Hey, guys. A bunch of colored leaves just blew through the kitchen. What's going on?
Huh? That don't seem right.
Hey, why's the front door open?
Oh. Pumpkin Spice Mary.
Pumpkin Spice Mary.
Oh, this time of year?
Oh, hello. It's fall, y'all.
It's actually not.
It's not, Mary.
Spring, Mary.
It can be fall in your heart if you have a candle.
What? Is that eggnog? We don't need any eggnog, Mary.
Oh, who says no to nog? No one I know. Here, open up wine.
Hey, come on.
What the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Do I look flushed? I was just apple picking.
Nobody wants any of your spiced apple cider. Just take off.
It's spring break, Mary. It's time to put on short sleeve shirts and, you know, get ready for summer and going swimming and stuff.
Oh, no, no. I must wear this cashmere poncho over a smart flannel. It's not hot.
Your earth tones are bumming everyone out, Mary.
Listen, fall can have fun in spring. I can be a part of spring break. I love breaks. I love taking a drive up the coast to watch the leaves change.
Thanksgiving break and spring breaks are total opposites. Everybody knows that.
What's more of a party than sitting with your family and being forced to say what you're grateful for?
Charles, do me a favor. Gather up all those gourds on the counter and throw them in the garbage.
No. Give me those gourds.
Right away. I'm getting so torn apart.
What's going on?
What's up? I got my spring buddies on one side of me. I got Pumpkin Spice Mary over here. I'm going to have another episode.
Come on, Winter Willie. And seed, folks.
Pumpkin Spice Mary. Pumpkin Spice Mary. She likes her hot cocoa.
Bum, 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 bum.
I was in the bathroom. I didn't miss anything, did I?
Oh, no. They didn't know that's a callback because they can't see you put your hand to your ear.
Oh, yes. For everyone at home who's just listening to this, or in your car, really. Don't we listen to podcasts in our car, guys? Can we admit that? Yeah, I put my hand to my ear to be the sound engineer from the earlier song scene.
Oh, that was good. Let's all pause for a moment to take in that moment that we might have missed. It's okay if it's a sound of silence. That's good. The camera pans over the LA Podfest audience, each of them taking in that moment, thinking about the visual callback that only they received and what that would mean. Suddenly, their thoughts turned to Colin Kaepernick kneeling down during the national anthem. Where am I in this world? How important is this podcast? Suddenly, thoughts returned to the callback.
They shake themselves awake and realize they're driving in their cars.
Someone should have sent that driver a letter.
And see. What's something that everyone seems to love that you can't stand? That's a good one. I'll let my audience answer that too. Maybe we should let the audience. Where's my man with the mic? Who in the audience wants to answer that? What's something everyone seems to love that you can't stand? And once again, don't say improv for humans. Okay, we got some over here, I see. What's your name, ma'am?
Perla.
Perla.
Yes.
Okay.
Kombucha.
Oh, okay.
And I live in Portland, Oregon, and that's like next to beer. Everybody worships it, and I'm just over in the corner like, I don't get it. What's so good about it?
So it's like a healthy drink that honestly has a little bit of alcohol in it?
Yeah, because I guess it's pretty much bitter tea that ferments, so they're kind of making moonshine, like I call it the hipster moonshine.
Now, is it served at bars, or is it just a health thing still?
No, it's served at bars. Like, they even have their own, like, taps specifically made for kombucha because of the acidity that comes with it.
But it's barely enough. It can't get you drunk.
No, there's no liquor. It's just the style of fermentation. There's, like, books dedicated to it. In Powell's Bookstore, which is, like, the big block store of books, there's a whole 20-foot section dedicated to kombucha fermentation.
You know that the same health benefits or for anything that's fermented. So sauerkraut, kimchi, all these things have that bacteria which is supposed to be good for your gut. That's what I've been
doing. Probiotics, right?
Probiotics,
and
yes.
And none of it would get you if... Are you sure if you drank a lot of it, it wouldn't give you a buzz?
No, it doesn't.
There are different kombuchas in the store, and there are some, I think, that you need to be 21 and over or have an ID.
Yeah, I think they have a warning. They mention that they have some alcohol.
She's saying no.
There is some that, because of the way the government rules what's, you know, an alcoholic and what isn't, those do fall in, and you do need to be 21.
Excuse me. Are you going in that store?
Yeah.
Could you buy me 8 cases of kombucha?
Yeah, and get us some Aquanet, too. Hairspray.
And Listerine. 6 bottles.
Guys, I'll just buy you beer if you want.
No. Hey, do they have rubbing alcohol in there? if they don't have rubbing alcohol, just a lot of booch.
They do have all of these things, but I just think, like, if you're going to, like, a high school party, you should just get, like, beer or liquor. I'll buy you wine.
24 cans of Cool Whip.
Cans of Cool Whip. What's that for?
Maybe when you were
the
going
nitrous.
To... Nitrous. The nitrous. Nitrous. Asshole.
That's not in a can of Cool Whip.
Yes, it
Fuck
is.
Fuck you.
Asshole. It's not Cool Whip. It's whipped cream.
It's whipped cream.
We cut to under the Santa Monica Bridge.
Hey, man,
that guy just taking, just with one of those big old soup spoons, just big dollops Cool Whip.
I keep popping up the top of these Cool Whip.
You wanted
containers.
Ready Whip, man. You wanted...
you got to get that first little whiff of air that comes up when you lift up the plastic. I'm telling you, it gets you high.
That's not the right product.
When I did that thing you do, I don't know, when you're in college or after college, you sometimes return to your high school and visit the old teachers. I did that once. And, of course, you go to the classes you did best in, so you walk in, the teachers go, hey! So I went back to my history class, American history class, which I'd gotten straight A's in, and I'd gotten second place American History Award or whatever the fuck it was. So I figured this teacher was going to love me, Mr. Brown. I walk in there. And he's like, hey, Matthew, how are you? And he starts laughing about something. And he's like, oh, we talk about you all the time. And I'm thinking, oh, it's about how I was the class clown or a smart kid. And he's like, we were just talking about you the other day, how you used to go with your friends to Kroger's, the grocery store. And we did do this. I didn't know it was what I was known for. But we would just go to the grocery store to the whipped cream aisle and just fucking empty all the NO2 into our brains. But I was like, that's what I'm being talked about in this teacher's lounge 5 years after the fact? So I was the whip-it boy, I guess. Not the whipping boy. All right, we only have like 10 minutes left, so let's get a suggestion from our audience again, our studio audience here. Anyone? You guys are resting on your laurels. What's that?
Raccoons.
I don't know if I've told this story before on the podcast. I probably have because it was so amazing. One time, should I not set up stories but it was so amazing? It was so amazing what the raccoons did, not my story.
You doing something.
Yeah. We got new grass. This was at my last house, not my current house, in the backyard. And when you get new grass, I guess you can either seed or you can get, what's it called?
Sod.
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 Yeah.
Pallets of it.
Sod.
Motherfucker. Sod. But what's it come in?
Rolls.
Rolls. Is that what it's called? Yeah. She's very confident in all her answers. Rolls. We got the rolls of grass. And, you know, you just roll them down, and it's there. Your whole grass is there. And then we slept that night, and we woke up in the morning, and all the grass that had been put down, and you know what? It wasn't one morning. It was like a week later, because that's what made it even more surprising. All the grass in my backyard had been rolled back up into perfect rolls. So is everyone following me? It went from a full grass yard till like a week later, everything was back rolled up to the way when the landscapers...
Neatly rolled?
Neatly rolled. And it was like a horror movie. I fucking opened up my shades. I was like, oh my God! And what would you think right away?
I'd think that it was a prank from kids.
Yes, I did. I was like, oh, fucking shit, some teenagers... Damn those teenagers getting in my backyard, rolling up the grass in the rolls. And it ended up, I don't know how I figured it out. Either I called the grass people or looked up on the internet, but it was raccoons, and they fucking do that with their crazy little hands. They fucking do that because I guess the whatever larva worms get right underneath that grass when it gets put down, and they know that, and they fucking rolled up all my grass and had a worm party. Crazy.
Ring.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, is this Charles Fremont Contracting?
God, I'm supposed to open with that, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh.
I've been pulling an all-nighter. Yes.
All right. Hey, what happened? You guys were right close to being finished, and today was supposed to be your last day, and the whole, the deck, all the flooring, all the boards are gone.
Oh.
Did you guys, was there something you made a mistake and you had to start over?
No, we did it. That's not us. That's beavers.
Excuse me?
You live near the dam?
No.
Well, then the beavers are expanding their territory. Yeah.
No.
You didn't know this about beavers. They are reverse contractors.
Okay. No way. That's not it. Come on.
Sir.
What's going on? Hello?
We didn't finish it.
Why would you? It's not that you just didn't finish. You were almost there, and today it's all torn up.
Where... Yeah, we didn't like what we did, so we undid it.
Oh. All right.
Since we're kind of perfectionists here, we wanted to do it right. And can I be honest, you're the first person that hasn't bought the beaver line. Every single person, we tell them that, they're like, yeah, I've never encountered a beaver. That could be true about beavers.
It's just there's obviously no beavers living in Southern California. I mean,
you know,
like
I never asked.
Desert. There's no water within 100 miles.
You'd
of
be
me.
Surprised. I ask people if they live near a dam, and people don't want to. I say like, you live near the dam, and people don't want to be ignorant about not knowing what's near them in their area. They'll go, yeah, I'm near the dam. You're right. There are no dams anywhere near you.
You'd have to be way ignorant to not know a dam is a huge
thing. Listen, we will get back there. We will put it back. Right. We will do it right this time.
All right, thanks.
And suddenly the line goes dead just as his call was finishing.
Hello?
And then he notices some guys working out on a line right outside his house, and he makes his way outside.
Hey, excuse me.
Yeah? Hello.
Hey, I think you may have cut a phone line to my house.
Don't blame me, buddy. It's the zebras. I'm trying to fix it. You got zebras in the neighborhood.
Buddy, come on. This, you're up.
You live near the plains, right?
Say it again.
You're by the plains?
The plains.
I mean, relatively. Los Angeles, the airport's like
no,
40
no.
miles from
no,
here.
No, not the airplanes. The plains where the zebra roam.
Jesus Christ. Come on, guys.
Sometimes the same word will sound the same. And scene, humans. This has been improv for humans. Thanks to everyone streaming at home. Don't feel you have to clap, sir. We can't see you. Let's thank LA Podfest for putting on this thing all the time. Graham. Dave, Anthony, everybody.
Can I ask
you guys,
a question of your audience, of this audience?
Sure.
How many people listen to Improv for Humans?
Good question. Good demographic. Okay. How many will listen to it? Fewer.
Less.
I would have gone ahead and clapped. There's nothing lost. No one was going to follow up. There would be no repercussions.
Just be brave right now. Who here will not ever listen to this podcast again? Just raise your hand real quick.
Okay. It's probably those people who didn't clap previously, so...
Not one of you is brave enough to tell me why you won't listen to it anymore.
You would hate that.
Would I?
Imagine if, come on. It'd be like going to war. Someone just saying, you ain't that funny.
Why are you in here, sir? I want to have a good seat for the next podcast. All right, humans. Let's plug ourselves real quick. You got, what do you want us to watch? Teachers?
When's I want you to watch on? Teachers. I can't tell you when. Sometime in January. I don't know what time or what
TV
day.
TV Land.
TV Land. It's a really good show, though.
Sean, making history all the time.
Please watch the show Making History on Fox. Also coming out in January. Also not sure. I think maybe Sunday nights. But you never know with those rascals at the networks.
Jessica.
You should watch me and Zach's show on ABC Digital called Serious Music that's going to be out on the 29th of September. You can watch it on ABC.com.
Great. What if this isn't Zach's plug?
Well, you should watch Jess and mine show Serious Music on ABC Digital.
Oh, there
coming
it was.
Out
That's
September
nice.
29th on ABCDigital.com.
Humans!
you got to get Best or Breaks the Record before this year's over. That's my stand-up special. It was the first stand-up special released this year in January. So people are forgetting it's 2016. And some guy just said, yeah. 2016's almost over. Grammy nominations are happening. How am I not a Grammy nominated by this point? Don't laugh. Keep being human. Thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun.
There is a creature that stalks your inbox while you sleep. The ear wolf. Once every fortnight, this lupine beast sneaks across the internet carrying only a newsletter featuring exciting podcast highlights, fan art, live tour dates, in-studio photos of stars like Mel Brooks and Susan Sarandon, and sneak peeks of podcasts yet to come. If you want these valuable treasures, all you have to do is invite it in by going to earwolf.com and subscribing to its email newsletter, and then wait for the earwolf to visit.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer. Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.